Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. We hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 3rd, 2023. At 9:04 on the clock, you have your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Havhager.
Good morning.
We got some fun things lined up for you this morning. We're going to get into some entertainment news a little bit later. We've also got some Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. Around the corner, we are going to have our monthly veterans update from our good friend Bill Heck. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, you know how we kick off 9 o'clock hour on Mondays.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Monday, April 3rd, and we want to begin our show by thanking our sponsors. The Kitchens Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering. Chatterbox Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
If you have an event you want catered, like a wedding, graduation, or maybe just to celebrate spring and remind us it's supposed to be here now, you'll want to talk to Kathy at Chatterbox.
That's right. Kathy can plan the perfect menu for whatever party you're throwing. Just call 715-712-3393. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment. Mm-hmm. Today's topic is cell cultured meat. That's right. We touched on it a couple of times last week, and that got me interested. So we dug into it a bit, and we're going to share with you what we found, but with experts from several specific sources, because I don't know that much about it.
We're going to explain what it is and the science behind it best we can.
And tell you who has it, how much it costs, and possibly when you'll be able to use it in recipes.
I'll fill in as many of the other bits and pieces as I can, although I think this meat is actually grown without the extra bits.
Come on.
Okay, James, you fill him in on the science part. You're good at that.
Excellent. Well, I have to get my science voice. I have to.
I'll be sharing from an article, the Good Food Institute, giphy.org, called The Science of Cultivated Meat. It says this food product is cultivated meat, also known as cultured meat. It is genuine annual meat, including seafood and organ meats, that is produced by cultivating animal cells directly. This production method eliminates the need to raise and farm animals for food.
And I will be reading from an article in The Counter titled "Lab-Grown Meat is Supposed to be Inevitable." The science tells that science tells a different story. September 22nd, 2021, their website is thecounter.org. This article was written shortly after the Good Food Institute, or GFI, a nonprofit that represents the alternative protein industry, published a techno-economic analysis, a TEA, that projected the future costs of producing a kilogram of cell-cultured meat.
Now, it's possible that sometime in the future we could be eating meat that wasn't grown in a backyard or a field or a concentrated animal feeding operation, also known as a CAFO. It's much closer than you might think, and in other parts of the world, it's already happening. Lab-grown meat is real meat. They say on BonAppetit.com in an article titled, "Will I See Lab-Grown Meat in the Supermarkets Anytime Soon?" and that's from January 20th of 2023. Whatever you want to call it, it's real meat. Instead of killing billions of animals each year, it's grown in a sterile lab from a few cells. That might sound like the narrative arc of your stoner cousin's self-published sci-fi novel, but actually it's already in motion.
Cultivated meat is made of the same cell types arranged in the same or similar structure as animal tissues, thus replicating the sensory and nutritional profiles of conventional meat. So if it's replicating how it tastes and how it benefits the body naturally, or nutritionally, they're saying it's the same or better than the cow in your farmer's field.
These advancements in technology, the pitch went well, would fundamentally change the way human societies interact with the planet, making the care, slaughter, and processing of billions of farm animals the relic of a barbaric past. We would be able to grow the meat by itself without giant factory farms with tons of waste and with much less of an impact on the environment. And bonus, still feed the world. That sounds positive.
The first examples of cultivated meat came from the before the public eye back in 2013. Dutch scientist Mark Post unveiled the first cultivated meat burger on live television back in 2013. 2 years later, the first four cultivated meat companies were founded. The industry has grown to more than 60 companies on six continents, backed by $450 million-plus in investments, each aiming to produce cultivated meat products.
Yes, and dozens more companies have formed to create technology solutions along the value chain. That means not only are there companies working to produce cultivated meat, there are other companies supporting the supply chain those companies need. So packaging, transporting, the actual production of, so giant vats.
Yes, they are actually grown in vast stainless steel bioreactors. The product itself has gone through many names along this journey. It started with vat meat.
Oh, that's appetizing.
Yeah, no. From there, the name progressed to lab meat. Not necessarily not much better. And then was the more widely known as cultured meat, much like a brewed beer. Now, the name for it is cultured meat. In a sciencefocus.com article called "What is lab meat? What is lab-grown meat? How it's made, environmental impact, and more," published on June 9th of 2022, they say there is less risk of contamination from disease and chemicals as they are produced in a sterile environment.
Good Food Institute says the manufacturing process begins with acquiring and banking stem cells from an animal. These cells are then grown in bioreactors known among us as cultivators at high densities and volumes. Similar to what happens inside an animal's body, the cells are fed an oxygen-rich cell culture medium made up of basic nutrients such as amino acids, glucose, vitamins, and inorganic salts, and supplemented with proteins and other growth factors.
So the scientists do their thing and cause the skeletal muscle, fat, and connective tissue to differentiate themselves. This process takes between 2 to 8 weeks, depending on what type of meat. Now get this, GFI.com says some companies are pursuing a similar strategy to create milk and other dairy products.
I wonder if they could make lactose free for you.
I would absolutely try it if they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue here. Will people even want to try this?
Well, in a Reuters.com article titled Lab-grown meat moves closer to American dinner plates on January 23, 2023, they say that in the 2022 Journal of Environmental Psychology, they found that 35% of meat eaters and 55% of vegetarians would be too disgusted to try cultivated meat. Well, what do you both think? Would you try it?
I think I would at least try it. It may be one of those things where if you want to get people to try it, you don't tell them what it is till after they've had it.
Possibly.
When we first moved here, my dad had some friends on the construction site, and he comes home, and he's like, he makes a bunch of burgers for us. We sit down, and we're eating them, enjoying them. He's like, he's not sitting down and eating like the rest of us, and he never does that. My father loves to eat, and he's just watching us eat, and it felt a little weird. What's going on here and everything? And he tells us, "You guys ready? It's deer." Like, it's like, what? He's like, "Yeah, it's venison." It's like, as city people, we had never had this before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty wild because where we grew up in Chicago, we had the United Nations. We tried a little bit of everything from every culture, and we thought we had tried it all. We love venison in our house, and we would have never tried it. May have never even tried it had my dad not kind of pulled one over on us. So I agree with you, Beth. I think that one of the best ways to do this is you can't lie to consumers, obviously.
No.
But I think that on the front of it, like, doing the on-air things, we have a billion cooking shows. Having cooking shows incorporating more of this meat and more of this stuff in their products, normalizing it. The more and more we do it, the more and more we're repetition, the more and more we see it, the better it is. I will say this, whether we're going to try it or not, we probably need to get this science down.
Right.
Because we can't count on...
We've got to figure it out.
Yeah, we have to figure something out. We can't keep doing things the way we've been doing them.
Well, and if we think about it, a lot of the food that we eat has been processed. How often have we been told about that? You know, our potato products are one of the worst. So to have something like this that was scientifically developed specifically for this, we found benefits to all of that happening in other areas of our life. Why wouldn't we want to do that in cooking and food as well?
Yeah.
And it's real meat. You know, that's the thing, too. It's not processed in the same way that we process, like, plant-based meats or protein replacement foods. So I'd try it.
And before we get back to the science of this, I do have to say as a side note, Melissa sent me this article last night, and I had a couple classes, had a bunch of stuff going on, bunch of grading to do last night. Thanks a lot, Mel, because I got on I went down a rabbit hole with this where I was up for another half an hour at least just diving into this topic. It's so fascinating.
It was a long article, and I'm sorry.
No. I'm just teasing. I appreciate the work, and I really, honestly, just letting the audience look behind the curtain a little bit, Melissa wanted some discussion with this. Going into it, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think I've ever discussed this with anybody. I think this is the first time I've ever talked about this subject with anybody. So not only do I think it's a great topic, but I find it very interesting. I think that it's something that we do need to discuss more and more. And it's kind of weird. I've talked about a lot. It's kind of my job. And the fact that I have not had a discussion about this before, really, like an in-depth one like we're having now, I think that stands out. So I think it's just good to talk about. Now, to get back to the science, Giphy.com states, prospective life cycle assessments indicate that cultivated meat will use significantly less land and water, emit fewer greenhouse gases, and reduce agriculture-related pollution and eutrophication, or icky green stuff, in our lakes. they got to change the name of that to just icky green stuff.
It's very descriptive of what it is. Yes. Like, you'll find in, like, peat well in late summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that green stuff is gross, and it reduces the amount of oxygen and sunlight for plants and fish. But there's also the cost factor to keep in mind.
Yeah. So, like, right now, the cost is astronomically high. Like, $50 for a lab-grown chicken nugget.
Prepared independently for Good Food Institute by the research consulting firm CE Deft, and using proprietary data provided under a non-disclosure agreement by 15 private companies, the document showed how addressing a series of technical and economic barriers could lower the production price from over $10,000 per pound today to about $2.50 per pound over the next 9 years. That's an astonishing 4,000-fold reduction. Ooh. That would bring the price of a quarter pounder from $2,500 to about 63 cents.
It's possible that in 5 to 10 years, the price of conventional meat could meet the price of grown meat. The extremely expensive lab-grown or cultivated meat will eventually grow less expensive as people get more accustomed to the idea and production ramps up. It could be in restaurants by maybe this year and in stores by the year 2028. The FDA just gave their second approval.
There's only one country where people purchase cultivated meat right now. According to ScienceFocus.com, people in Singapore already can. Tetrix company, Good Meat, has been producing and selling its chicken in Singapore since December of 2020 at special events, both in an upscale restaurant, hotel restaurant, and the legendary Mr. Lou's Hawker Stall.
So according to this website, IEatIShootIPost.com, great name.
Yes.
This legendary stall was founded by the late Mr. Lou Nayaptan, who started selling curry rice along the Pai Lai Street in Taejong Pangar right after the Second World War. It's moved twice since then, and the current owner, Mr. Lou Kiachi, age 63, said Lou's Hainanese curry rice is in its final location in the center of Tiang Bahru, unless he's able to find a suitable person to take over the legendary stall.
This hawker stall in Singapore has been making curry rice in the same way for 76 years. Goodmeat.com, the company who is producing the cultivated meat, says, "It seems odd, this mixing of new and old, of tradition and revision. But to Lu Kaiqi, always affectionately referred to as Mr. Lu, it makes sense that history runs through the humble hawker. I think tradition and modernization do not clash with each other," Lu said. "When I first learned about this cultivated chicken, I saw it as a great invention for humanity." And his customers seem to be happy with the results. That's saying a lot for a stall that often has a line around the block at 8 a.m. People come for consistency, and they're still tasting that.
Now let's look at the environmental impact. They have found that meat processed this way instead of the traditional farm method has less of an environmental impact. It has more of an impact than plant-based protein crops, however. It has about the same as plant-based meat. On DiscoverMagazine.com, in an article titled, "What is Cell Cultured Meat and When Can You Try It?" July 9th, 2021, it states in a 2018 paper, Hannah Tusamadio, a professor at the Helsinki Institute of Sustainability Science, wrote, when comparing the environmental impacts of cultured meat with plant-based foods, the available estimates show that cultured meat has higher greenhouse gas emissions and energy use compared to unprocessed plant-based protein crops, such as beans and peas. But emissions are comparable with processed vegetarian meat substitutes.
So companies are seeing this as a potential gold field. TheCounter.org states, "With its techno-economic analysis findings in hand, the Good Food Institute has worked tirelessly to argue for massive public investments. Its top policy recommendation, according to GFI's in-depth analysis of the TIA results, is aimed at forward-thinking governments. They should increase public funds for research and development into cultured meat technology in order to seize the opportunity and reap the benefits of becoming global leaders in the space."
So will it actually be better for the environment? ScienceFocus.com says, "The truth is, we can't know until mass production is happening. Modeling the potential impacts of a fast-moving biotech industry that's still in development is subject to many ifs and buts."
Land not used for cultivated meat could be used to grow plant-based proteins, nature, and extra renewable energy production. This change would most likely produce less CO2 emissions. It further states it certainly has a lot of potential because it directly offers a more sustainable alternative to conventional meats. It is a more effective way of converting crops into meat, and therefore much less land is needed to produce these crops.
But the production will really have to increase for that even to be a possibility. According to the Reuters.com article, author Leah Douglas says the upside facility in Emeryville, California, produces 4,000 pounds of cultivated meat per year, compared to the 106 billion pounds of meat produced in the U.S. in 2021.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with this and if any of us will be able to try cultivated meat anytime soon.
Could it be any worse than a non-kosher hot dog? I mean, let's be honest here.
I don't know, James. I've heard a lot of things about hot dogs, and I usually eat them without thinking about those things I've heard. I can't imagine that eating meat grown in a sterile environment could be any worse. I really don't.
Right. I mean, if you think about what is actually in the hot dog, which is all the leftover parts.
The bits.
Yeah.
Yes. The offal.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you would know with the cultured meat that it's healthier. It's more in a more controlled environment.
Mm-hmm. And it's all from the same animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
And again, I think that whether we like it, we don't like it, whether we think it's a good thing, we think it's a bad thing, I almost think none of this, like, it's open, it's a good discussion, but it almost doesn't matter. It's going to happen.
Right.
There's way too much money. There's way too much invested in this for it's going another direction. I don't know for how long we'll have both options where we have this cultured meat and you know, you're used the meat you're used to. It's only a matter of time before we're left with only one.
Right.
I don't know, James. I think that we'll always have both to some degree. I just think that the price, like you mentioned earlier, the price of the cultivated meat is going to come down. The price of, like, pasture-grown animals is going to come up.
Yeah.
Because there will be less of them. The demand for the cultured meat is going to become more because the price is coming down. And at some point, I think they'll surpass each other where, you know, like already Wagyu beef and things like that are uber expensive. Mm-hmm. But I think that the price will go up and they'll always be around.
Yeah. Good discussion, guys. Good discussion.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us on this edifying discussion on cultured meat. So would you try it? And would you like to see it offered in a restaurant? Tell us on our WFHR Facebook page.
A good steak is already $28 to over $100, depending on what you get. Would you be willing to pay for a steak that was grown and not butchered?
As long as it
how much?
Yeah. As long as it tastes like steak and doesn't need any sauce, I will try it. It's got to taste like real meat. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, we want to send out a big thank you to our sponsors, Chatterbox Catering, for sponsoring our Kitchen Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox, and she will find you the perfect menu for your party. I have no doubt Kathy has the right cut of meat for your party.
Whatever your catering wants, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Be sure to be listening every Monday in the 9 o'clock hour for The Kitchen's Open. Looking forward to next week's already. Great, great one. Nice job, yep. Melissa. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a monthly veterans update from our good friend Bill Heck on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio, 927 on the clock. You have Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our great friend, Mr. Bill Heck, with our monthly veterans update. Bill, good to see you.
Good to be back. Good to be seen.
It's been too long, man. It's been too long. Good to see you, Bill. Thanks so much for being here with us today. How have you been?
Oh, well, it's winter.
Yeah.
Next year, it ain't going to be like this. I'm going to be 3 months down south. So.
Oh. Ah, nice. That's the plan. That is a good plan right there.
So. Can we hide in your suitcase?
Yeah.
I never thought much about, you know, doing that stuff because, oh, well, you're a hardy Midwesterner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This hasn't been a bad winter, but this one got to me.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. We're glad you're here, Bill, and we want to make sure that the floor is ready for you. What do you have for us today?
Well, I just got a few things. You know, we're just starting to gear up.
Of course,
it'll get more and more as we go along. Mm-hmm. But first off, let me get the upcoming events that we got coming, and then I'll explain a few of them. We got the Heroes Cafe on the 12th. I want to explain that. You know, there's 13 weeks in every quarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that means there's 1 month that has 5 Wednesdays. Mm.
Yeah.
And that had just happened to be last month.
Ah.
So this Wednesday is not Heroes Cafe, even though it's been 2 weeks.
Because
the Heroes Cafe is on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday of the month, no matter what.
Yes.
And I know that there will be a couple of guys go over there looking for coffee.
Yeah, it happens, yeah.
But it's on the 12th.
Okay.
And then VVA meeting at 6 p.m. on the 13th. On the 17th, let me come back to that one. On the 20th, we have the VFW meeting at 6 p.m. And then April 26th is another Heroes Cafe.
Mm.
On April 17th is the first honor flight of the year.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, that's out of Wausau, the Never Forgotten Honor Flight. And we have a tradition that goes with the honor flight called mail call.
Oh.
And on the way home, it's a highlight for these guys. On the way home, they have mail call for them.
Okay.
And I have an address here that you can keep.
Yeah, thanks.
And if anybody's interested, mail call letters, it says, if you'd like to write a letter to a veteran for mail call, send your letter to, and then I've got the address for you. You can either do it personally to a veteran that's on the flight.
Okay.
Or you can say, honored veteran, mm-hmm. or dear veteran, mm-hmm. or something. Send a card or a letter, and they'll get it on their way home.
Okay.
So you don't need to know anybody that's personally on that flight. You can still write a letter to somebody on the flight, just make it more general.
Right. Or just, you know, yeah. And as far as who's on the flight, all you got to do is go to neverforgottenhonorflight.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's a roster of the whole flight. There's probably, I think there's 12 from Wisconsin Rapids on the next one, and I think 11 on the next one. And the whole, their itinerary is on there, and also the list of who's going on the flight.
Oh, wonderful.
So, You can address, like I say, you can address it personally or just honored veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And the address, just I'll leave it here for you, but it's care of Never Forgotten Honor Flight, 225780 Rib Mountain Drive, number 780, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54401.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If anybody calls in, there's the address. And
we'll make sure to get this out there a couple times and over the back fence and some other of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, where am I here? brat fries. I had all the brat fries written down, and I lost the piece of paper. I'll call in with those dates for you.
Sounds good.
But they start in May. May the 10th, we got a Heroes Cafe with Quilts of Valor.
Mm.
Okay.
That's...
That's such a great moment.
Mm-hmm. I think there's 12 of them this time.
Wow.
And then May the 11th, VBA meeting. May the 18th, VFW meeting. May the 20th, VBA has highway cleanup, and we'll meet at Tower Road at 10 a.m. If it's raining or whatever, we'll just wait till the fall. We don't have a rain date on that. And then the Heroes Cafe on the 24th. I did want to mention April the 26th, Heroes Cafe is at 7:30 to 9:30 or 10 o'clock, whenever they leave. But we have a bus leaving the VFW about 9 for Veterans Day at the Capitol on April 26th.
Mm. Okay.
There's a group of veterans coming from all over the state, and the legislature is going to be there, and we're going to talk to them personally, hopefully, about Wisconsin's vet property tax credit eligibility expansion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a bill that's in the legislature right now, AB 102. What it does is lower the rate for property taxes from 100% disabled down to 70% disabled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eventually, of course, we'd like to see it down to 10%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to start somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Funding for the UW-MIA Recovery Project, where they go over to Vietnam. And lower the five-year residency requirement for tuition remission program.
Yes.
And reduce fees on all DNR sporting licenses.
Mm. Mm.
There's a lot of states, if you're a veteran, you don't pay nothing for a hunting fishing license. And Wisconsin is not one of them. We'd like to see them join those ranks.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And this is all sponsored by American Legion, the DAB, VFW. I have a couple of phone numbers on here that I'll leave with you.
Sure.
Actually, the first one, I just talked to the man. He doesn't know any more than I do about it, about the bus. But the second one is Daryl Handline. He's the commander of the DAV in the area, and his number is 715-252-9197.
Okay.
That bus will be leaving from the VFW on April the 26th. They have a free lunch down there.
Mm.
When you say free in Wisconsin, you know everybody.
You feed them, they will come.
Yep.
That's right. Veterans procession to the Capitol is at 11:40. Rally at the Capitol is from 12 to 1. And you have to have a ticket to get on this bus. And you can register at a website that's listed here.
Okay.
The ticket is free.
Okay.
You just got to have a ticket to get on.
Just got to register.
Yep.
Right, right. Mm. So I'll leave that with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll make sure to get this information out there as well, Bill.
And pretty much that's all I got for right now. We're, gearing up for summer, gearing up for them brat fries. And getting, I just went to the senior center, Friday, and everybody, hey, when's the first brat fries?
Yeah. They're one of the signs of summer.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
You can't wait for them. And it's such a great opportunity not only to get a good brat, but to see our vets, to make some eye contact, to say hi, to say thank you.
Yep.
It's a great opportunity.
And we have our orange blossoms, of course, for the VVA on the first Friday and Saturday of June, second and third.
Yeah.
We'll be out there. So, and last year, I got to tell you a little story about that. Mm. These orange blossoms, they come... They're called orange clusters, and they're only sold by a couple of people in this country.
Mm.
And one of them is folded up. The other one was Medals of America, so we ordered 5,000 from them. Well, they sent us the black POW MIA flowers instead.
Oh.
Because there was no more orange clusters.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's what we had last year. This year we got a combination flower from a VVA group out in West Virginia, and we're going to call it the Orange Blossoms this year.
Okay.
It's got the Vietnamese colors of the flower. It's really a pretty flower.
Hmm.
But orange clusters are just, we haven't been able to find them anywhere in the country right now.
Huh. So. We'll have to keep an eye on. And Bill, cannot thank you enough for the time and you joining us today. When is the next Heroes Cafe?
The 12th.
Okay. 12th. We'll be talking about this and we'll be certainly bringing attention to it. I'll get this information to Melissa, our head of news.
Okay.
And I'm sure she'll run with it as well. But otherwise, we're looking forward to you joining us next month, Bill. And I can't thank you again enough for the time, the information, joining us here on the air. Thanks so much for everything. Mm-hmm. And of course, thank you for your service.
And this is only going to be for the next 9 months. I'm done after this December. I'm done. I've been doing the Heroes Cafe for 9 years now.
Yeah.
So it's time. For one of these younger vets, and you're out there, I know.
Yes.
These younger vets to step up and take over the Heroes Cafe.
Yeah. We've got this, you know, I talk with Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss all the time about this. You know,
yeah.
We've had a generation doing some amazing work for our communities, for our country. It's time for this next generation.
Yep.
It's time for us to pick up. You guys have done enough. Enjoy some retirement. Enjoy some break. Like, enjoy, you know, relax a little bit.
I just want to spend a little bit more time with my wife. Here, running there for VVA or the Heroes Cafe or whatever. Me and her just want to get in the car and go, but I need to get a new car. I bought a brand new car and I'm totally disappointed. The car itself is excellent.
Yeah.
Getting in and out of it when you got spinal arthritis.
That's rougher. Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun after that on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. I think it's KMFDM. I think I can't remember, something like that. Yeah, there was like 90 techno bands that showed up like out of nowhere, and all of them had one hit, and that was it. And then we never heard from them again.
This was not the kind of music I listened to. So I'm sitting here going, "What in the world?"
Oh yeah, I loved this stuff. I couldn't get enough of this, like a layered music and everything. And as quickly as I loved it, as quickly as it faded.
Mm.
Some of it. There's still quite a bit out there. I want to, before we dive into anything fun here, or all this fun and silly stuff that we're going to get into some entertainment news in a moment, I did want to say one more time a gigantic thank you to our good friend Bill Heck joining us with that monthly veterans update.
Yes.
That website, again, is neverforgottenhonorflight.com. It's all one word, neverforgottenhonorflight.com. I encourage you not only to bookmark that page, but to read up on it and read up on our veterans and this amazing event that's taking place. And the other information Bill talked about, we're going to be addressing, we'll be talking about is we lead closer to those events.
Right.
I'm going to get that information to Melissa, and we'll be sure to be covering that. We're already looking forward to Bill joining us next month.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. That was a good time. So want to get into some entertainment news, and we're going to kick things off with a couple of funny things some celebrities did over for April Fool's.
Okay.
Dave Bautista, who I think is just, I'm enjoying more and more with his career and his arc of his life and everything. Know him as Dax the Destroyer in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and such. Dave Bautista released a trailer for his upcoming Netflix stand-up special, I've Never Done This Before. There was some production behind this one,
right?
Like, people really
time and effort into this one.
People thought that he was like actually going into stand-up comedy and everything. Like, he actually had, and if I got this right, I want to say, well, I don't know if it was his agent or an assistant of his agents call him up and say, "Dave, what's going on?" Well done, sir.
Yes.
Well done. My mother and I are very proud of you, Mr. Bautista.
Now I need to go look that up.
One of the funnier classic moments that has ever happened on Saturday Night Live, and that is saying something. On Saturday Night Live, Michael Shea secretly told the audience to not laugh at his Weekend Update co-host Colin Jost's jokes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, no.
And Jost is just like Colin. I think one of the things that's likable about him is he has a nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
He has a bit of that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when nobody's laughing at your jokes, it's intensified 100-fold.
Yeah.
And you can see it all on his. He has no poker face. I would play poker with Colin Jost any day. Like, he has no. So the whole thing is, and Michael Shea, who does have a poker face, is just playing this cool, calm, and collected. Those two have such good chemistry. I have no idea if they actually like each other or not, but they have such good chemistry, and it was like a perfect example was that moment on SNL this weekend. Fantastic, and a great job by Quintina Brunson as well of hosting. Heidi Klum faked a pregnancy with the help of America's Got Talent hosts. That didn't go over very well.
No.
And I was a little surprised by that, considering she knows she's pretty good at navigating social media. Mm-hmm. You would think she knows better, but this tells you how in a bubble people are.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of any rational person doing that nowadays, faking a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live in a bubble and you don't know what real people are going through and real people think, like, it, yeah, this kind of stuff is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time with when people reference, like, yeah, I'm not going to spend a dollar on bread. Yeah, bread don't cost a dollar anymore.
No.
You obviously have not bought bread in a long time. Like, Rick Astley announced that he was indeed going to give us and music up in order to devote the next 10 years of his life to kittens. He's never going to give you up, but he did. He did. He gave us up.
He did.
Up. Sarah Polley's 11-year-old daughter sent her a letter saying she had to return her Oscar for Women Talking because All Quiet on the Western Front was the rightful winner. That's funny.
That's a good daughter.
That's funny.
Usher. I like Sarah Polley a lot. She was in The Tales of Avonlea.
Good actor. Very good actor. Usher almost got, like, really could have messed with his audience. Usher fooled his audience into believing he was bringing Beyonce on stage. Not a good call.
That could have caused a riot.
Yeah, that could have gone bad. Yeah. George Takei landed a role in the upcoming sequel, Nothing, Nowhere, Not at All. It's, of course, the great sequel to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes.
God, I love George Takei. I didn't even watch Star Trek or anything, but he's hilarious. The Pittsburgh Steelers drafted a new wide receiver, and they'll be paying him in gin and juice. Yes, the wide receiver, Calvin Brodus Jr., or otherwise known as Snoop Dogg, has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That would be interesting to see.
Absolutely. Well, to be fair, Snoop is like 6'4 or something like that. Like, he is tall. Snoop, 6'4. He's 6'4. Yeah. So he'd make a pretty solid receiver. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he would ever play a game because I don't believe he could pass the urine test. I don't feel like Snoop would ever actually play a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have his jersey. I'd have his jersey. Yeah. I'd definitely have a Steeler jersey of Snoop. That'd be cool. That great job by everybody. Outside,
I thought
Heidi
you were
going
to say he's changing his name to Snoop Cat.
That'd be great. Oh, there's a good one. Yes. Oh, next year, Snoop. Get
there
on
you go.
That.
Yeah, come on.
And give credit to Beth on that one. I have mentioned before, I'm a huge fan of Robert Smith. I grew up loving The Cure, big fan of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize I could gain even more fandom for them or more respect for Robert Smith. It's really trying to return. Robert Smith is really trying to return fairness to the process of buying concert tickets to an extreme level. Over the weekend, he announced that 7,000 scalped tickets to the upcoming Cure concert had been canceled, and he plans to resell them and donate the original fees to Amnesty International.
Wow.
Because Robert Smith is a true rock star. Like, a true, like, The Cure had previously opted out of Ticketmaster's platinum and dynamical pricing ticket options, which have been responsible for grossly inflating ticket prices on their other tours.
Mm-hmm.
He also got Ticketmaster to issue refunds to some buyers to compensate the higher fees.
Good.
This is the time to strike.
Yep.
This is the time to...
Well, the iron's hot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're in the news. They're in the... Like, we've got public hearings. We've got all these things going on. This is the time to try to get the scales finally balanced.
Yep.
It is also the time to realize this may be a scenario where there is no villain. What Ticketmaster is doing is wrong. Nobody's going to... it's pretty hard to side with Ticketmaster. At the same time, this is business. And this is something that we have to find a balance of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have obviously taken this and run with it too far, and we need to bring them in check. But it's also giving, I think, the world an opportunity to understand that artists are not being paid rightfully. Mm-hmm. And haven't been since the beginning of music, pretty much.
Yep.
And that includes venues. You know, and the reason this got so out of hand is because nobody's been being paid what they should be. Nobody's been making the money they should be. I'm an artist. I create a song. The world loves it. and I make $5 off it.
Right.
Like, what the what? Like, mm-hmm. That's not right. The people that I think, if you really, really want to nitpick and get right down to the center of this and where you really need somebody to point the finger at, it's music companies. It's production companies. It's the companies that make these artists sign these but it's pretty much make or break.
Right.
You're an artist. Mm-hmm. All you've ever wanted is a record deal. If every once in a while there's an artist who holds out, or there's a chance the rapper who believes in themselves and can sell their own music, mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 are going to sign that deal and are not going to own their own music. Right. And that should not happen. That's not right. Mm-hmm. It just seems wrong. It's not to say that Ticketmaster isn't to blame for a lot of this, but they're not the only ones. And mm-hmm. the idea of like backing art, we all enjoy music. We all enjoy these artists. We should all be backing them. We mm-hmm. should all be like, hey, this is not right. We need to balance the scales.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. We'll get into our other entertainment thing with kind of our That Ain't Right stories, and we'll come back with that. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James going to take it to the top of the hour. Got kind of a That Ain't Right story, more of a debate story really here, and it leads from our entertainment area. A month ago, Keith Urban triggered a social media debate about standing at concerts. He posted a photo praising a sign at a venue in Las Vegas that said, "Guests are encouraged to stand during the performance." And naturally, that rubs some salt in the old standards versus sitters debate. About half Keith's followers celebrated the post, saying that it's no fun to sit at concerts and everyone should be up and dancing. Others complained that they pay good money for a seat and people standing block their view. Mm-hmm. Others pointed out that standing benefits taller people and sitting makes it easier for everyone to see, especially older people, younger people, shorter people, disabled people, etc. So this brings us to sort of a That Ain't Right story as far as like if you're on the other side of whatever the side of the argument, you know, mm-hmm. the person on the other side of it. Is there something about possibly having sections for this in bigger venues, in venues where you can, where you have a standing section, you have a sitting section, and then that sitting section, maybe you have more of an area for, you know, your disabled section and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, pretend that everybody could do something like this, but especially venues that are just being built, that are new.
Right.
Like, you know, why not? I don't see an issue with this.
You should have a section for vertically challenged people, because inevitably I go to a concert or some type of an event, and being on the not hot, taller side of things, mm-hmm. Inevitably somebody taller than I am sits in front of me, and then half of my view is blocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't fun.
I like the idea of having sections because, some people like to stand. Some mm-hmm. people like to sit. Mm-hmm. So I think that you could buy a ticket accordingly.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is going to be where you have your standing section, because the artists may want that up around the stage so that they can interact with people, because the stage is going to be raised. But if you're in the mm-hmm. seated section right behind that, your view may be blocked. So, you know, it's trying to figure out those logistics to make it worthwhile for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's silly criminal time as our feature That Ain't Right story. The owner of a Dairy Queen in Phoenix is hoping someone comes forward after three people stole a 15-foot red spoon that was bottled, bolted to the ground outside.
Aww.
It happened early in the morning on the 25th. While the place was closed, the spoon was anchored to the ground. It was a popular spot for photos. Kids would sit in it while parents took their picture. Mm-hmm. Three people showed up with a flatbed trailer, so it was a spur-of-the-moment thing. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. They obviously planned it.
Mm-hmm.
There's security footage where you can see their faces pretty well, and it was two men and a woman. But last we heard, the cops still hadn't ID'd them. The police are hoping someone turns them in. They are saying that if you're driving down the street and see a giant red spoon hanging out of someone's car, you should definitely report it. The owners say if someone just dropped it back off, they won't ask questions. But it cost $3,500 and twice that with the delivery and installation.
Mm-hmm.
So if cops can't catch them, they're looking at felony charges. The owners also offered a reward. If someone finds the spoon and reports it, they get a free Blizzard in every flavor this summer.
Wow.
Ooh, hey, that's a pretty good mm-hmm. reward.
what are you going to do with this thing?
That was my question.
What are you going to do with this thing? Like, the idea of, like, you know, making dinner for everybody and, like, setting the spoon down next to someone, like, that's only funny once. Like, after that, it gets old. I mean.
And where are you going to store it?
This, you don't mess with ice cream. All right? You just don't do it. Don't mess, and you don't.
What was the motivation behind this?
You don't mess with ice cream. You don't mess with kids. This is wrong. Right. This is a true that ain't right story right here. And what are you going to do with this thing?
These are the jokers.
Messing
with the queen.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's right. That's right, Beth. Nicely done. I just don't like that story.
No.
Don't like it.
Give it back, please.
I do like the idea, though, of trying to eat out of one of those spoons. I do think that is something.
I wonder if they're trying to figure out how much ice cream would fit in that spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's a good question, actually. Get some good stories of the day. We need a palate cleanser. Late last month, a 21-year-old pilot in Michigan named Taylor Hash had to make an emergency landing after her single-engine plane lost its front wheel. She didn't even know until another pilot noticed and told her air traffic control. That pilot's name is Chris Yates, and he ended up taking her down. He got on the radio, told her his daughter happens to be named Taylor too, and said, "We're going to be just fine, kiddo." She landed safely and wasn't hurt.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
A 33-year-old Uber driver recently picked up a 71-year-old guy from a dialysis center in Delaware and ended up giving him a kidney.
What?
Yeah.
Now there's a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Delivery driver, extraordinaire.
Yeah, I bet his ratings went up.
yeah, there's a good Yelp review. Yeah,
there you go.
There's a good
review.
That's a really interesting story, too. There's so much more details to it and everything. Encourage people to check that one out.
That's great.
If you get a chance, especially if you need a pick-me-up or a good story here or anything like that. That's one. A woman in North Carolina recently bought a vintage Carter purse for $1. Now she's in the news after it sold at auction last month for $9,450.
Whoa.
Now there's a good bargain buy.
That seems like a pretty good deal. Yeah.
Wow.
And an 18-year-old in England was diagnosed with high-functioning autism 2 years ago, and a friend told him he'd never be a doctor like he wanted to. But he was inspired to keep pursuing it after watching the show The Good Doctor about a surgeon with autism. Now he's headed to medical school later this year.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, That's awesome. Way to be.
Pursue your dreams.
Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do something.
Yep.
No.
Yep, darn right. We also want to say one of our good stories of the day is the Winter Farmers Market going on at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to find out more about that, especially if you're a vendor and you want to know more and be a part of things. Yep. You can do that by going to wrmoravian.org. Go all the way to the right. There's a nice little more section, and you'll find it right there. Did I get that right, Beth?
You did. Okay. Absolutely. And we're also going to be doing a blood drive later this week that I'll be talking about tomorrow.
Yeah,
later this month, not this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking with you tomorrow on Morning Magazine, though. And again, a big shout out to Bill Heck with our monthly veterans update. Greatly appreciate him doing that. Thank you, Bill. Enjoy the month off from seeing us and putting up with it.
It was good to hear from him.
It was.
Be on the lookout. Melissa will have some of these stories in her news, I imagine. And we certainly want to remind you again, neverforgottenhonorflight.com. That's neverforgottenhonorflight.com. Be sure to bookmark that page. Like it in your bookmark that page and keep it in handy. Because I have a feeling you'll have more use for it as we go forward here and everything. And one last good story of the day, a shout out to Rick Humphreys. Rick joined us on Director's Cut a little while ago and just wanted to thank him. He sent us a nice thank you card.
Aww.
It was really cool. Aww. I got to show this to Seth. He'll get a kick out of that. That was great. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, of course, to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring the Kitchens Open. Thank you so much for the great work there. Nice job with the work as well on that segment. You too. Nice work. That's going to do it for us for now. Stick around. Playmakers coming up with Randy Paul right around the corner. You two have a good day.
Thanks. You too, you James.
Too. We'll be back with more here at WFHR where we... Oh, you know what? I'm going to let Beth do this. She's good at it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.